Plata on the line here at the commentary.ca. Liam McLaren writes the popular Generation Y column in the style section of the Saturday edition of the Globe and Mail. She joins me to talk about her new book, a novel, The Continuity Girl, which is already a bestseller. Published by HarperCollins, the book retails for $18.95. Please welcome to the commentary.ca Liam McLaren. Good morning, Ms. McLaren.
Good morning.
What is a sperm bandit?
You go right for the jugular, don't you?
Why not?
A sperm bandit is, the main character of my novel is a sperm bandit. And a sperm bandit is a woman who wants to get pregnant without having a relationship, therefore engages in certain amorous activities with a view to extracting sperm, but nothing more in the long term.
Are there a lot of that sort of women going around?
Well, I don't actually think that. I mean, I think the character in the novel is quite an extreme, and is a composite of women I've known. But so I haven't met any women who are quite as extreme as my main character. But I think that there definitely are women out there who that is their main priority. I think whether they want to admit it or not.
I've always wondered about this. About the subject of your book that Meredith goes through, as well as stuff that you write about in your column. Is this a sort of urban phenomena, or can rural Canadians who don't live in the major cities, can they relate to that as well? Is that their experience,
do you
think?
Well, I would like to hope that the themes are universal. I mean, people have relationships and have children and fall in love and have jobs everywhere in Canada, rural or urban. So I would think that it's a pretty universal theme.
In interviews and reviews of the book that I've seen and read, a lot of people ask you about whether you've had similar experiences to Meredith, the main character in the book. Does it get tiresome to get asked questions like that? If this book is autobiographical?
Well, on the one hand, I've heard the question a few times, but I wouldn't say tiresome because it is, you know, as a journalist myself, I understand that there are certain questions you simply have to ask, and part of the job of the person who's being interviewed, particularly if they're promoting something, as I'm promoting a book right now, part of their job is to answer those questions honestly and in an engaged and honest way. So it doesn't get tiresome, or to the extent that it does, you know, I'm in no position to complain at all. Because I have a lot of sympathy for interviews, because for me, for all of my life, I've been on the other side, and now it's a completely new thing for me to be the person being interviewed, so I try to be as forthcoming as possible.
What is this test that Meredith goes through, this G-test, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, it's the G-test, and that's a test that I actually took when I was living in London for a story for The Globe, and it's a fairly new test in fertility technology where they can measure your hormones while you're ovulating as a woman, of course, not in men. And from that, they can get an idea of your ovulation rate and how fertile you are. So for women, it can give women a sort of vague picture of their window of fertility.
And Meredith turns 35 and she takes this test because she wants kids, or she's worried that she won't be able to have kids? Why does she take the test?
Well, she wants to kind of get an idea of her window of fertility, and she takes the test and then finds out that she is, that if she wants to get pregnant, she should probably, her ovulation rate is low for her age, and that if she wants to get pregnant, she should probably get on it. And her doctor tells her that in no uncertain terms. And so this kind of is the impetus for her, what she in the book calls her quest to get pregnant. And it's a quest that doesn't really, she's sort of given up on love, so it doesn't really involve finding a mate. It really just involves getting pregnant. So it's pretty single-minded. And I'm not saying that I recommend this as a strategy for women. And in fact, the book in some ways is a cautionary tale against this kind of thinking. So Meredith has to go through this, you know, this whole kind of ordeal in order to find out what she really wants and hopefully to find love.
The title of the book is The Continuity Girl, and that has to do with her job. She works on film sets, does she?
Yes, she does.
She's meticulous. And she's
she's meticulous. I mean, a continuity girl. Do you know what a continuity girl is?
Well, they just make sure that everything, the cigarette's in the right place and the sort.
Exactly. So what, I mean, the more politically correct term for a continuity girl is a script supervisor. And she is, she or he, but usually she, is the person who sits beside the director and makes sure that everything is in order, because movies, as most people know, are shot out of continuity. So they, if the movie takes place over 3 years, but there are 6 scenes in the dining room of the family home, they'll shoot all those scenes in one day, basically. And so the continuity girl makes sure that the people seem properly aged, and that, or even in a more micro level, that from take to take, that the wine in the glasses is going down at a level that makes sense in terms of the timing.
Now, she's meticulous and almost anal-like, and is that because of her job, or was she always like that?
Well, I think it's a kind of chicken and egg situation. You know, she's well-suited to her job, and her job is well-suited to her, so did she become a continuity girl because she was anal, or is she anal because she became a continuity girl? Who knows? I mean, I think actually she probably started out that way. She had a very, very chaotic childhood with a mother who was a real free spirit, and I think she, that kind of inspired her to become, her reaction to that was to become very controlling,
I noticed there's a lot of detail about the movie-making industry. Have you spent much time on movie sets?
Not a ton of time, but I have, because I dated a guy, and my current boyfriend is a director, and so, yes, I've spent time, and I have many friends who work in the film industry, so although I've never worked on a film set, I have spent time on film sets, and I find them really, really fascinating places. They're very, very weirdly militaristic, but also creative places, so it's and there's so much money at stake, and time is so much of the essence, and they're kind of wild places. It's very weird to be on a movie set, because it's myth-making in action.
I was just thinking, hundreds of hearts were just broken when you said that you are dating somebody at the moment. We're talking with Leah McLaren about her new novel, The Continuity Girl, 1895, published by HarperCollins. Have you always wanted to write a novel?
I have, yeah. I mean, ever since I was... It's actually my second novel, because when I was 8 years old, I wrote my first novel. It was called The Enchanted Lighthouse, and it was like 10 pages on foolscap about an English sailor. It was a bodice-ripping melodrama romance, and it was about an English sailor who gets shipwrecked in the English Channel and washes up on this island in the middle of the English Channel. I don't really think there are any islands in the English Channel. And there's a lighthouse on it and a beautiful woman who turns out to be a ghost, but they fall in love.
And you haven't gotten a deal for that yet? Or?
No, it's as yet unpublished, but my agent is definitely working on it.
It must be hard. I mean, you write in your column about your life, about life in general, and it's nonfiction. Coming up with ideas, with characters, the layering of the plot, and all that stuff seems to be a difficult job. Did you find it hard, or did it come naturally?
I found it hard. It was just working on. It's one thing to write column after column, week after week, but it's. I'm more used to working on small, bite-sized kind of assignments. So to work on something this big was, a huge challenge, but also incredibly fulfilling, you know. So the thing with a novel is during the process of it, you end up feeling all sorts of different ways about it. You have days when you feel like it's brilliant and days when you feel like it's a complete, waste of time and you should really just flush it down the toilet and start over. That's kind of the nature of the undertaking.
And the process of writing, the editing that goes on, you have to show it to your editor and that sort, that must be different than writing a column, right?
Weirdly not that different, but just much more unwieldy and long, takes much longer. But to the extent, I work pretty closely with my editors here, and I'm pretty used to being edited, so I trust, I've learned the lesson a long time ago that if an intelligent, talented editor tells you something, they're right about 99% of the time, as much as you try to fight them or hide from it. The best writers, I think, listen to their editors.
I guess the question is, were there a lot of changes from when you wrote the book to what we have just read?
Oh, from the, yeah, well, no, I wouldn't say it was a, it was edited. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a pretty, let me see.
Did they say throughout this plot, did they say throughout this storyline, get rid of this character, add this character?
Oh, yeah, yeah, there were definitely characters that were more or less cut out, and whole passages and scenes and little plot tangents that were lost. If anything, it was more a process of paring it down. It was a lot longer to begin with, and it was much more unwieldy. So so most of what's in it was in it from the beginning and was just sort of reworked and kind of pared down. So it was more of a process of winnowing it than anything.
The book's a bestseller, but I want to ask you about the reviews. I gather Ryan Big, you do not dig.
I actually haven't read that review, because my boyfriend read it, and he was like, you can't read this review, and he made me promise not to read it.
But how do you deal with the good and the bad in terms of reviews? I mean, you get that with your column every week, do you not?
Well, exactly. That's a very good point, and that, I mean, I thought that I would be the best person to be able to deal with reviews because I have my column. So every week, pretty much, I'll get emails saying, I love your column, it's great, it's the reason why I subscribe to the paper, and then I'll get other emails saying, I can't stand your column, and, you know, I wish it didn't exist, and I think that you're terrible. And so what I have taken from that is, of course, you know, everything is relative, and some people are going to like what you do, and some people aren't going to like what you do, and that's just part of, you know, publishing. But, you know, of course, I thought I was all thick-skinned, but, you know, it does, bad reviews do bother me, but my strategy with that, I mean, like with the Toronto Star review you refer to, I was just not to read it. So I really don't even know. That one really hasn't bothered me because I honestly don't know anything about the contents of it.
But you do know of the furor that's happened on the internet and blogs and the sort of.
Oh, yeah,
about
yeah.
It, right?
Well, I knew of the conflict of interest, of course, because I was surprised that he took on that assignment, given that I had written something unflattering about him about 5 years ago. But so I was surprised that Star assigned it to him, but, you know, it turned out they didn't know of the conflict. But, you know, and I think as a writer, I think, you know, I have respect for all writers who publish books and work in the freelance world. It's a tough world. But one thing I do know is that the one thing that you have as a journalist is your integrity. And once you draw that into question, if that comes into question, you seriously sacrificed your career as a journalist. If if people can't trust you, that's a problem.
Now, I made mention that the internet, they're talking about you a lot. In a recent column, you said that you've turned off all blogs.
Sometimes I feel like the internet is one big conversation I shouldn't be overhearing. You know, it's kind of like listening to a bunch of people gossiping about you or about your friends, and I think there's a lot of great stuff online, and there's a lot of great websites, and there are some great blogs that I look at, but I don't really have time for that kind of gossipy, venomous, you know, backstabbing stuff. I think there's a lot of negativity and vitriol and anger out there, and I just try to kind of tune it out, because it's totally unhelpful.
There is a lot of anger directed at you and about your column. Do you think that you being the subject of such fascination and derision has to do with the fact that you're female, do you think? I know Maureen Dowd talks about that she gets criticized about her love life and the sort by the right more than, let's say, David Brooks does or Tom Friedman.
Sure, I would say for sure. I mean, I don't see, you know, Paul Wells or Andrew Coyne enduring the kind of scrutiny that I've endured. So it is, yeah, I think there is a kind of fascination and voyeurism with young women that people have. So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. On the other hand, so on the one hand, there's that, but on the other hand, it, you know, to some extent has raised my profile, you know, so you become a subject of scrutiny. Ultimately, though, what it's taken me a while to realize, and I, you know, I struggled with this earlier in my career, but in the past all that stuff ultimately doesn't matter. What matters is doing the work and doing it as best you can and challenging yourself and trying to take on new challenges. And, you know, some people are going to like what you do, some people aren't, and that's just that. You can't control that.
And you are selling books. What's the reaction been from friends of yours? Do they see themselves in this book as characters?
Pretty good, I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe they're writing anonymous blogs about me. But no, my friends have been really, really supportive, as has my family. And there's a, in fact, you know, there's a crazy, Meredith has a crazy mother in the book, and my poor mom has had to explain to all of her friends that it's not her. But it really, you know, it's the book is a complete work of fiction, and almost all of it is imaginary. So, and I think people might be a bit disappointed by that, but that's, for what it's worth, that's the truth.
So what's next? Are you working on another book, or are you getting that 10-year-old book published?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. It's still floating around out there, but I'm holding up. I'm not working on another book currently. I'm kind of waiting for another idea. And I'm also just, I'm doing my work at the Globe, doing my column and feature writing, which is completely absorbing, and it's my first love, of course. And so I'm concentrating on that. But yeah, I definitely want to publish more books in the future. But it's a huge thing, and I know that, you know, I'm not going to do another one until I have an idea that I know I can commit to.
And how long will the Generation Y column continue?
I don't know. You'd have to ask my editors.
I'm just thinking, when does the shelf life of the Generation Y, when does that
finish? Oh, well, first
finish?
Of all, are they still calling it Generation Y on the Internet? Do you read it on the Internet?
I really, you know, I'm sort of like you, that I don't read anything except my own site.
Right. Well, because it's not Generation Y, you know.
It's something else, I know.
It's just my name. It's just Leah McLaren's column. There's no name for it. But yeah, it hasn't been that for a long time. But
oh, it hasn't.
How long could it continue? Well, you know, it could, I mean, as long as the Globe is happy with it, and I'm happy to do it, and readers read it and enjoy it, then it will go on. But if one of those three factors gets taken away, then, I don't know, it's, I'm still really enjoying it, so as long as, I hope forever.
And you'll be in Vancouver on April 26th, will
That's
you not?
That's correct.
I'm
doing an event at Holt Renfrew from 7 to 10 p.m. And details on that will be coming out soon.
And people can come down and get their book signed and sort?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the Holt Renfrew Pacific Center, 633 Granville.